Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right. Hi, Brittany.
Hi, Eric.
Oh, I just said hi. Not I'm.
Yeah.
I'm Eric.
I'm Brittany.
And we are...
For Colored Nerds.
The conversations that black people have...
when white people are not in the room.
But we record them.
And we put them on the internet.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Today's going to be a fun one. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. We're going to cover a lot of ground.
Yeah, we're going to try to.
Yeah.
So what's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Honestly, I'm going on vacation to Puerto Rico a week from today. By the time this episode comes out...
You'll be gone.
I will still be here. But probably by the time a lot of people listen to it,
yeah,
I'll definitely be gone.
I'm excited for you to be gone.
I'm excited to be gone.
Different reasons.
Nobody cares what you think. Nobody cares what you think. I ordered a lot of shit from online. I hate shopping. I just find it to be the most tedious shit. Like anything, all that shit. Like, I don't know how people find getting their nails done and their hair done like a pleasurable process. Like, I like getting my hair cut because I like my hairstylist. I think she's a wonderful person. But I only see her like every 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. Like, all other shit, like going to get my nails done is boring. Shopping is boring. Getting your eyebrows done, boring. Any type of waxing, body hair removal is like literally right before they start it. I'm like laying there and I'm like, I just start freaking out. And internally, like, why the fuck do I pay somebody to do this dumb shit?
It's the after effects. I mean, I don't think people actually enjoy the, like, during. Do people enjoy the during? I think you enjoy, like, what comes after.
Yeah, I enjoy, the stuff being done.
Yeah.
I don't like doing it. It's doing terrible. It.
That's fair.
I mean, I don't know. I guess you don't really have to think about stuff like this. You can just use your Andes T-liner on your bald head.
It's true.
And be done.
I haven't been to a barber. No, I went to a barber right before the wedding. There was like a good year and a half or 2 years before. Yeah.
I'm like kind of pissed, I guess. But, you know, whatever. I went shopping. I got some stuff. Shut up. If I would look cute bald-headed, trust and believe I would already have.
You should get a little fade.
I would not be cute. There are two things that people feel like they are regularly. Actually, now, thanks to fucking podcasts, three things now that people feel like they can tell me. People tell me that I should never cut my hair short, which I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the compliment.
Yeah.
I look better wearing glasses, which is like, you look so much better when you have these goggles covering a third of your actual face. Thank you, Jesus. And the third is, you are shorter and thinner than I thought that you would be in real life.
I mean, you are short.
No,
short,
I'm short. Like average height. I'm like not short. Yeah.
But that's funny.
But anyway, yeah, I'm going to Puerto Rico. I got fucking new clothes. I got a freaking bathing suit. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just fucking hype. I just can't believe I'm not going to be here. I haven't been on a vacation without my family that wasn't attached to an event like directly relating to somebody else's graduation, wedding, baby, in 10 years.
Well, it's a great experience. I'm happy for you. It should be good.
Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I have a little bit of a headache. But, you know, I have no complaints. Work is fun. Life is fun. Family is fun.
Isn't it cool?
It's nice. I'm straight.
I'm glad. It's so nice. I don't know if I told you guys this before, but if I have, I'm going to repeat it. Literally, now that Eric works at Gimlet, too, it's like, you are so much more delightful.
Thank you.
It's true.
Yeah, I recognize I'm an easier person now.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, I thought I was going to have to shoot you in the leg or something like that before.
Well, luckily we avoided all of that.
Yeah, we avoided all that.
And we could be here for this event.
For this event.
To talk about camp.
Camp.
So.
Not summer camp.
If you don't know, camp is like a style often like discussed in like filmmaking, where everything is like over exaggerated. Oftentimes, like, melodramatic to the max.
Yeah.
A lot of times, the movies that people describe as, like, oh, man, it's so bad, it's good, are described as, like, campy.
Yeah, lots of camp films become, quote unquote cult classics.
Yes.
It's like Rocky Horror is campy. Anything John Waters makes is campy. Yes. Actually, we did a little, read a little Susan Sontag.
Yeah.
And the two words that come up the most, I feel like, in her essay Notes on Camp are literally exaggeration and artifice.
Yeah. Often, like, it's just fun. You kind of have to let things go.
Yeah.
And, like, when you let things go, like, you just are along for the ride.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
I also think it's just, like, there's more room to play because you can so readily, like, the aesthetic is so based around shit that's not real.
Yeah.
That you can just readily accept what's happening in front of you. You're just like, yeah, all right. I believe this.
Sure.
I'll take this. Exactly.
There's a lot of sure.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
But Eric wanted to talk about camp today, but he had some specific.
Yes. I want to zero in on a certain subset because, you know, we often talk about black stuff.
I think we maybe only talk about
black stuff. Black stuff. Fair enough. Do. True. I want to talk about hip hopras. Or maybe just like the general, like, black musical operatic style.
I knew that you wanted to talk about, like, this particular thing. I didn't realize that you were going to refer to it as hip hopras, but it helps. It helps.
Yeah. I mean, it calls to mind a very specific thing. But yes. Basically, again, like the black R&B hip hop operatic style. We haven't seen as much as I would like, to be honest.
I actually agree with that.
Yeah. I think there's definitely room for more. But, you know, the most recent thing is Empire, which we'll probably come back to.
We're definitely going to come back to Empire.
But the one I want to kind of start with is kind of related to something or someone who we talked about very recently. She was the lead in this film.
Yes.
Carmen, a hip hopera.
Carmen colon, a hip hopera.
Yes, yes, yes. It was based on the Broadway musical Carmen Jones and came out in 2001. What I like to think of is like a better, simpler time.
Wait, Carmen Jones is a musical?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was on stage. I thought it was only like a film.
Yeah, no. So it was a musical first, then it was the film.
Oh,
the film
with Dorothy Dandridge and Harry Belafonte. It's a good movie.
And then, of course, it came the Robert Townsend version.
Yeah.
Who Robert Townsend is the fucking man, if you don't know.
He is the fucking man.
You talking Five Heartbeats. And also somebody who kind of embraces campiness, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Meteor Man.
Meteor Man, if you don't Baps. Baps.
Oh, my God, Baps is an incredible movie.
A lot of people give Baps a lot of shit, no, but that's because they're taking it too seriously.
They are taking it too seriously. Baps is a beautiful film.
Yeah. Baps, even the Five Heartbeats, like elements of the Five Heartbeats are like, yo, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
But yeah, Robert Townsend, awesome director. This was a partnership with MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose Beyonce Knowles, Mekhi Phife, Yasin Bey, or Mos Def at the time.
I honestly call him Mos Def consistently, which I know you're not supposed to do. People change their names.
Yeah. Back then, he was Mos Def, so we're going to say Mos Def.
Yeah.
Okay. Ra Digga.
Who I miss.
Yeah.
I miss her.
Gotta come back. Wyclef.
Oh, my God.
Pre-puberty, Lil Bow Wow.
Lil Bow Wow.
Back when everyone was probably fond of him.
Actually. I really, really was. I saw the Scream Tour.
Yeah.
At Fox Theater Detroit.
DeBrat.
DeBrat.
Jermaine Dupri.
Oh, my God.
Reagan Gomez, even. Reagan Gomez. It says Reagan Gomez Preston. But if I remember correctly, Reagan Gomez actually has good Twitter.
No, Reagan Gomez has a really good Twitter. She seems to be in, like, a really cute marriage and have cute kids. And she's always trying to work on, like, her own projects and, like, self-fund and crowdfund a lot of her stuff.
Yeah.
So big ups.
Yeah,
big
shout ups, out to big Reagan ups, big Gomez. Ups. But back to Carmen. So Carmen is a musical.
Well, yeah, it's a hip opera based upon a musical, which was based upon the opera.
Yeah. It's about this vixen, if you will. What's the right word? Is it vixen? Is it like...
Yeah, thot.
Like, thot. Yeah, so Carmen Brown, played by Beyonce,
yes,
is this woman who is literally... She's out to get it.
She is out to get it.
And will get it by any means necessary.
Yeah, yeah.
And so actually, before we even get into the plot, you got to understand it, like, because... Some people are going to go back and they're going to watch this movie.
Yeah.
And again, you have to understand, one, this is a campy film.
And you have to put on your 2001 goggles.
Yes. Again, it was a better time. Every bandana was bedazzled.
True.
Your sunglasses had, like, bedazzled hearts in them.
I had Gucci sunglasses that had, like, little G's in them that I got for $20 from TJ Maxx, probably about 2 years too late. And I wore the shit. They were olive green aviators crystallized. No reason for that. But there was a time.
Yeah, it was popping. It was lit.
What TRL was popping. MTV yeah. was popping. And also, like, it's interesting that, like, we just talked about Beyonce, like, last episode, is, like, she's the only person. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. She's the only person operating at her level now. In 2001, this is before Dangerously in Love. This is before... Yeah. This was like Crazy in Love is before everything.
It was like the tail end of Destiny's Child, right?
Yeah, tail end of Destiny's Child. And Beyonce was not really thought about. Like, if I was talking to somebody last night, this is when Ashanti was like it.
Yeah.
Beyonce hadn't really come up yet because Ashanti, and also, like, I think this is right before Aaliyah passed away. So, like, yeah. Aaliyah was coming up. Ashanti was everything. Beyonce was kind of like, people were like, she's cute. Destiny's Child is cute, but yeah. like.
So, yeah. So, like, Beyonce was like, I mean, in as much of an awkward phase as Beyonce can have, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she's still, like, obviously she's a gorgeous woman. And I mean, that's the whole thing. In the
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's supposed to be, like, the baddest bitch in all of Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm saying, like, in her career-wise, it was kind of a weird time.
Oh, yeah, it was a weird time. I think she was still trying to, actually, you know what? This gives me hope. She's figuring a lot of stuff out. She's figured a lot of stuff out, and she came out on top, clearly.
There's a pathway.
There is a pathway.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yes.
So, Carmen Brown is in Philly. She's an aspiring actress. You don't really, like, you find it out kind of midway through.
There's a couple points, plot points yeah. that you find out much later than you should.
She starts by pursuing this cop in this bar.
Black cop.
Yes.
This is very pre-2014 film.
Right?
Yes.
They're in a cop bar. This is kind of like...
Of all black cop bar.
All black cop bar. Hadn't seen that one before.
No.
Everybody is actually in uniform. My understanding was you couldn't actually drink.
Drink
in
your uniform? That's what I thought too.
But every cop was in uniform. Like, I need a drink. So Mekhi Phife is this cop, Sergeant Derek Hill. And he is there with his fiance, who also works at the bar.
Yes.
And Beyonce comes in, literally shuts the whole shit down.
Yeah, because she's wearing this red, lacy, like, deeply cut, yeah. like, high slit, like, very fitted dress.
And it's clearly like a Tuesday. You know, like,
it's... Oh, yeah. It's like a casual after... It's like happy hour.
Everybody is in, like, regular-ass clothes, yeah. like, just chilling. The bar is called, like, Marv's or something like that.
Very regular.
And she walks in with this, like, basic, like, a prom dress, if you will.
Yeah.
Like, a 2016 prom dress.
Yes.
Just like, I am the shit.
Yeah.
And, like, everybody's heads are turning.
Yes.
It's very similar to, like, Chirac. Like, the beginning of Chirac in terms of how they set...
Oh, yeah, exactly how they set up. Like, they set up Tiana Paris's character, Liz Estrada, at the beginning of Chirac, the same way that they set up Carmen Brown.
Yes.
In a hip opera.
But Carmen is not ashamed to go after what she wants.
No.
Sergeant Derek Hill, Mekhi Phife, sorry. That is that man's name. But he's engaged to Reagan Gomez, whose name is like Kayla or something?
Yeah, it's short for Michaela. In the original opera, the woman who is like the lead guy's original fiance or the woman he's supposed to get married to or whatever,
yeah.
her name is Michaela in the original opera. Really? So they called her Kayla.
Wow.
In this, yeah.
I always just thought they blackened up all the names.
All the names.
I would have been surprised. I mean, hey, you got to make it your own. But yeah, so he's literally talking to his fiance at the bar, and she comes over and instantly is like, ooh, what's up with you?
Yeah.
And he's like trying to play her to the left, and she's like, nah, but we need to talk. And then she eventually gets into this like violent fight.
With this other woman though.
Because her man looked at her? Or
yeah,
something?
And she was like, you need to get some new weave. It was a whole thing.
She
like,
ripped out her weave?
Yes, Beyonce like really like fisticuffs with this other woman.
Yeah.
Like not even, she's like going for Mekhi Phife?
Yeah.
She doesn't even get into a fight with his fiance.
No.
It's just some other, she's too sexy. Everybody's looking at her.
Yeah. And they literally are like rolling around on the ground.
Yeah.
At that point, Mos Def.
Who is the police sergeant?
No, he is lieutenant.
Oh, yeah. So he's, yeah, Mos Def.
He's like senior.
Right.
Who is a dirty cop, sees this. He tried to holler at Carmen before. She kind of like curved him.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, well, you got into a fight. You need to be arrested right now. And he tells Mekhi Phife,
yeah,
who was off duty.
Yeah, who was supposed to have plans with his fiance that night.
Yeah.
Who Mos Def is also interested in, I think.
Yeah, he also wants to holler at her.
He sucks.
Yeah, he's supposed to be like, he's supposed to be trash.
Yeah, he's just like a shitty guy.
Yeah. And so, like, this guy, so Mekhi Phifer takes, he's supposed to be taking Carmen to jail, but she is able to convince him not to.
Yeah, it's so weird. She's like, oh, take me home. She had this piece of jewelry on that she's like, oh, this is the last thing my mother gave me before she died. I need to go home and drop it off because if I take it to jail, then
it's
they're
gonna get stolen. But yeah, usually they put your possessions in a bag, right?
I think so.
I mean, I honestly have not been arrested.
Neither have I. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. But yeah, it was like weird. So then his dumbass is like,
okay,
all right, yeah, that's reasonable. So then they go to her house. Oh, he like lets her go in her room and put this jewelry away and ostensibly change. And then she's like, come in, or some shit like that. Yeah. Anyway, he goes in her bedroom. She's laying there with a whole bunch of lavender lingerie on.
Yeah.
And she basically tries to seduce him and get him to not take her to jail, which actually, I mean, he protests for a while.
Yeah, but then he's like, yeah, it's Beyonce.
Yeah, well, it's Carmen Brown.
It's
Carmen Brown, the baddest bitch in all of Philadelphia. I have to get in these panties.
Yeah, and he does. And then they instantly fall in love?
Well, actually, so this is actually weird. This is one of the first little plot weird things. Basically, like, he wakes up in the morning and she's gone. And then, like, the police lieutenant, yes, Mos Def, is there to arrest him. And he's like, you aided and abetted this woman. Her leaving him at her house in the morning and then, like, leaving sets off this whole weird chain of events, yeah, where, like, she doesn't go to jail.
No, they don't even look for her.
They don't look for her. And then he does go to jail.
Yeah.
And then
gets out in the middle of the night.
Gets out in the middle of the night. But, like, he's also in jail for this weird, like, indeterminate amount of time. Yeah. Like, I thought, like, the way she was acting, like, well, let me roll back.
Yeah.
So then
it's a complicated plot.
It's a complicated plot. So Mekhi Phifer wakes up in Beyonce's house. And by, you know, the police lieutenant, played by Mos Def, who also brought Mekhi Phifer's fiance to Beyonce's house.
Yeah, to set him up.
Set him up to be like, oh, this, look what your man was doing.
Yeah.
Doesn't that hurt? So then she slaps him in the face. Then Mekhi Phifer goes to jail. This whole time, Beyonce's chilling. For some reason, like you said,
yeah,
they didn't go looking for her. And she and her friends want to move to L.A. to eat. It's like a combination of rapping, singing, modeling, acting. You know,
yeah,
the typical
this stuff.
The typical, like, young black woman fame aspirations, like, all of it wrapped up into one. And they meet this rapper, Blaze,
yeah,
who's, like, becomes infatuated with Beyonce, again, who's out at the club instead of in jail for reasons that, like, are made kind of clear, but yeah, not really. So then they hatch this plan to move to L.A. They're like, oh, Blaze,
he's going
to
pay for everything.
He's going to play for everything.
Support us.
Support us. Put us in a house. Some random woman he met at the club in Philadelphia until we, you know, achieve our goals.
Yeah.
Which was weird. And so then they're like, hey, Beyonce, we're moving tomorrow. Are you coming? And she's like, no, I'm in love with Hill. Like, yeah, Mekhi Phifer, who's in jail. And I'm sitting there like, wait.
they literally, it seems seemingly just really met. They only were together one night.
Yeah.
Not even a full 24 hours.
No.
She left him to get arrested, knew the cops were coming, was like, I can't be around.
Right. They had there was no interstitial scene where you see her like tucking him into bed and kissing him on the floor. He wakes up literally with his pants on still, belt unbuckled.
Yeah.
No shirt. Like, alone.
Yeah.
That does not, like, communicate to me
that you care about me.
That you care about this
slightly
person.
Unreasonable. For the circumstances.
Yeah, so then basically, yada, 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 she waits for him to get out of jail, which I guess he's in jail for like another 2 days.
Yeah.
And her friends are like, if you don't move right now, like, how are you going to follow your dreams? I'm like, she's going to be there on Friday. Like, y'all need to chill. They end up going to L.A. together. But then, you know, the lieutenant in Philadelphia is still looking for them in L.A. And in between, there's a whole bunch of rap singing.
Yes.
And
actual singing, kind of.
And actual singing. And little Bow Wow playing a child who's in it.
Who's in jail? A 10-year-old in adult prison.
Right.
Which was very confusing.
It was all, like, I mean, and then, like, we have Wyclef Jean, who is, like, reading tarot cards. It's a lot. There's a lot going on. It ends with Beyonce dying.
Yeah. I mean, it's, spoiler alert, it's been 15 years.
Yeah.
So, sorry. Go back and watch it. It's still worth it because I'm sure you didn't understand the plot from our recap.
Yeah,
because it is complicated.
It's really complicated.
But that said, it's so fun. Like, the lyrics are absolutely fucking ridiculous. All right, so this is Beyonce basically, like, describing her beauty. She says, your game, she was talking to Mos Def. She's like, your game is whack. I know you'll run and get your quarterback. See, this Carmen curves like a cul-de-sac. Skin, coffee, and cream. Yo donuts ain't dunking that. This is the writing, like the amazing writing in this film.
There were so many references to actual, like, the physical machinations of intercourse.
Yes.
There were so many references to that throughout the film. I was blown away. Even, like, there were even, like, some very troubling, I want to say there was, like, this whole song where Mekhi Phifer is in jail with Lil Bow Wow.
Yeah.
And, like, lifting weights and shit, and some other guys, and he was like, you know, I'm dreaming of this woman. When I get out of jail, she's going to be waiting for me. I need to get out of here so I can be with her. You don't understand. I'm about to get in these panties. And a little Bow Wow, I was like, no, I do understand. Me and my babysitter. And I was like,
yo, that is not okay,
that's
sir.
That's not cool. Like, we need to, y'all, everybody.
We need to take a step back.
We need to take a step back. Like, this is not okay. But overall, like, I will say, after 15 years, I thought that, like, the whole thing actually held up pretty well.
It's still, like it's a surprisingly watchable movie,
yeah.
You know? Like, it is really fun. Like, don't get it twisted. There are, the cuts are really weird. Like, I don't think, and I don't blame Robert Townsend for this.
Cause I blame Robert Townsend for nothing. He's perfect.
Exactly. Like, he's made some great movies. It's clear that the MTV wasn't really fucking with the budget.
Oh, my God. They filmed this
on shoestring budget.
I mean, truly.
They probably used, like, what is the equivalent of my rent. But to make the entire movie.
Literally.
But yeah, like, it is amazing, amazing to watch. And it's just so ridiculous and so fun. And the music, it does a really cool job of, like, kind of advancing the plot, but also being really fun and make, like you said, these references at the time are, like, strangely sexual, but also,
super,
like,
sexual. Yeah.
Very, like, current, at least current for the time.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's just really, really fun. And I remember watching that and being like actually being, like, taken away somewhere that's, like, very different. Like, it's kind of like an escape, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like, first of all, it was nothing like real life.
True.
And also, I don't know, I just found it to be so, I found it to be, like, really fun and funny. I felt like, I think I told you this earlier, it felt like everybody who was in it was also in on the joke. Like, everybody, yeah, like, who was in it. Like, Wyclef Jean playing a tarot card reader with his hair all wrapped up
doing,
like,
the
Miss Cleo.
Sorry, doing the If I'm Your President voice. Like, yeah. That little, like, noise he be making all the time.
Oh, my God.
So good.
And it was, like, it was everybody, like, no one took themselves too seriously to be a part of this thing. And it was so actually corny and sweet and really cool in a way that it was, like, because everybody took it so seriously. Like, Beyonce is not, like, to me, she's not, like, a mind-blowing actress.
Yeah.
But, like, her acting in this really wasn't bad.
Yeah. Especially because, I mean, it's one of, like, camp is, like, one of those styles that really, you know, if you're not the best actor, you can, like, play to your strengths a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Hamming it up,
yeah,
like, is a way to kind of, like, get over that because it feels natural in context,
yeah,
you know, for what they're doing.
Exactly.
Mos Def was clearly, like, having, like, so much fun. Like,
oh, he was having a blast.
I feel like he was just grinning the whole time.
Yeah. His acting was really good.
Yeah. I mean, Mos Def is actually a pretty good actor.
No, he's a pretty good actor. Terrible husband and baby father, but yeah. Pretty good actor.
Yeah. Questionable person.
Questionable human being, but pretty good actor. I got the sense that it was like everybody, it was, like, very much like, let's put on a show.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was having a good time and it was super fun.
So Carmen is this, like, cult classic, and it really reminds me of another movie that is a musical that is kind of in this same vein of just to the max, like, over the top, which is someone who you called out earlier, John Waters, a John Waters film.
Yeah.
Which is Crybaby.
Love that fucking movie.
Like, if you haven't seen Crybaby, go back and watch it. It's
so good.
It stars Johnny Depp. It's very much set in kind of the, like, what's it, like, Greaser?
It's like Greaser, rockabilly, what we would now call rockabilly, like, South? Were they in the South? Yeah, so Crybaby was set in Baltimore, Maryland, and it was just like, so, I mean, you get the best of the city and the best of the country when you look at Maryland.
Yeah, but it's just a really fun movie. I won't go too much into the plot, but it's just about this, like, bad boy who's trying to date this, like, quote-unquote good girl, and, like, hijinks ensue. And it's like, it's ridiculous. Ricky Lake is in it.
So good.
Yeah.
Tracy Lords, yeah. Tracy Lords, I feel like there's people who are, if you're below the age of like 28, you probably do not know who that is.
Yeah.
But she was in it.
It's just a really, really good movie. There's a lot of like the same type of like sexual tongue-in-cheek humor.
Yeah.
And like really great cheesy-ass music that you can still kind of like get with.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, like once you suspend that like I'm too cool for this kind of mentality, mm-hmm. like it's just fun. It's a really, really, really fun movie.
And again, it's like the same thing, which I think probably is like a law of camp, is that all the performers are taking everything really seriously.
Yeah.
Like when that's what makes it pay off, is that they do all this work of like, just like walking you into these jokes, and then you just get to sit there and enjoy them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really, really fun movie. But the interesting thing about, honestly, you don't hear too much about Carmen anymore. And I'm not sitting here saying like Crybaby is like on the tips of everybody's tongue.
It's yeah. Like, or saying even that Carmen is like, you know, Emmy nominated.
Yeah.
Like
material.
Hall of Fame material.
But I think, I call out Carmen and like it sticks with me because I think it's important that we make sure we call it out as being a part of like our pieces of the canon. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? If we are looking at camp and we're like thinking about like defining black camp and then even going to like hip operas or like black opera.
Yeah, or even blaxploitation in a way.
Yeah. Just making sure like we keep those films in the back of your mind. So like when you see something, when you see like an Empire.
Yeah.
Things like, oh, this sticks out is like, I can see kind of how they got here.
Yeah.
You know? That's a, one of the things I kind of want to compare. And in addition, like, I think people often take, like, white campiness a little more seriously.
Not only do they take it, like, they take it more seriously. It's almost like it's a given that white people are sophisticated enough to engage in camp.
And to laugh at themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas, like, black people are not.
Yeah. You know, they're I think people are just so much more generous.
Yes.
To white camp. Because, like, I remember, like, I loved Carmen. I was also 15 at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah. I feel like in our, like, age group, we really, really enjoyed it. But everybody else, I feel like it was kind of widely panned.
Yeah.
Know? But it's just, like, really, really fun movie, you know. And I think it's important to make sure that we're not being, like, overly critical for what people are trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Like, we have to keep these lenses on, you know, the camp lens to make sure that we're appreciating this gift.
Yeah. You know what actually that makes me think of? Somebody recently did this study. I read this article about how movies and television shows that are intended for female audiences are disproportionately rated by men. And the men rate those films or television shows as disproportionately worse. Then, and not only that, like movies and television shows that are aimed at men are not really rated disproportionately by women. It's not like women are aggressively going into those spaces and being like, this is what I think. And then the women are usually rating them similarly to like the way that they rate the programs that they like themselves. And they're rating them similarly to the way that men see those same programs. That affects like your IMDb rating, which is how like when someone Googles a movie that they haven't seen, especially if it's been out for a few years, that affects kind of like how people like see it.
Yeah. What they want to watch.
Exactly. And I wonder, like that makes me think about so many things as far as like rating systems with Netflix and, you know, so many other different like algorithmic, I guess, like apps or services that we use. But it reminds me sort of how something is like critically interpreted. Like, I mean, you know, which is like something that we talk about a lot here. But like, it even makes me think about, what's that film we just talked about? Chirac.
Yeah.
Chirac was so obviously campy.
Yeah.
And it was not regarded as the camp film that it so clearly is. And it's amazing to me that Spike Lee was not seen as somebody who is sophisticated enough, you know what I'm saying, to be able to put out a camp film, which is something that he's done before.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people really were, like, kind of debating the fact that it was satire, like, which was really bizarre. Like, you know, you have the dance number. Didn't they do a dance number?
Oh, yeah. They had so many different choreographed dance numbers, which is, again, like, Spike Lee has done choreographed dance numbers. Yeah. Has no one seen, you know, School Days?
Which is what, like, put him on the map.
Exactly. Well,
for us, I would say.
Yeah, for us. Yeah, no, yeah. Like, I think about that a lot when I think about, like, just people not having the proper cultural lens or filter to be able to actually appreciate art that black people make.
Yeah.
And just assuming that we are not sophisticated creators, we are not sophisticated performers, and we are not a sophisticated audience.
And there's actually a really good parallel. I sent you an article called I Want Your Black Sex. It's by Ira Madison III. This article is kind of about, like, black sexuality and the black erotic thriller. So, like, you talked about, like, a few episodes back, I don't remember which one, but you talked about going to see, like, The Perfect Man.
Yes.
And how you were really excited to see it. And I saw it later. I was like, damn, this is, like, Brittany was right. This was a really fucking
good movie. Perfect Guy. Yes.
That's Perfect Man. But it was a really, really good movie.
It was so amazing.
I wouldn't necessarily call it campy. It was definitely, like, kind of over the top.
I think everybody knew and was committed to making it over the top.
Yeah, but I mean, not in this, like, not any different than, like, as you mentioned, like, Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
Oh, really fucking over the top.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Or even, like, Gone Girl is also really over the
top. Yeah, I didn't see it, but I did read the plot. Because people were like, oh, my God, the plot to this movie. And I read it, and I was like, oh, my God. They literally have done this on Guiding Light 6 or 7 times over.
Right?
Yeah.
Probably Passions, too.
Yeah.
But there was, like, the devil would have been involved. Demons and angels.
That's true.
But, yeah, like, people don't take The Perfect Guy as seriously as they take, you know, a Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
Which was Academy Award nominated film.
And, like, I've seen that film recently. Like, yeah. I've watched Fatal Attraction within the past 9 months. And don't get me wrong, this shit is fun. And, like, there's some really, like, it's well-paced. It's well-shot. It's really stylized. I think it was, like, innovative in a lot of ways. Like, I think all the sex scenes in that movie are incredible.
Yeah.
And trust me, because I just saw 50 Shades of Grey recently. And
a little different.
It was just a mess. But, I mean, it was nominated for 6 Academy Awards, Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
And it was not a 6 Academy Award-winning film. To my mind. Nominated film, to my mind. It just wasn't, to me, the best of what anybody has ever made, ever.
You know, and but that is kind of the trend. Like, people see us in this different light. That's kind of the point that Ira was making. Like, you know, they see an all-black cast with the Sanaa Lathan and, you know, Morris Chestnut and Blue Eyes. What's his name?
Michael Ealy.
Blue Eyes. But I think they're green, actually.
They're blue.
Oh, they're blue?
Mm-hmm.
You remember, you know.
Of course I remember.
But yeah, and they don't take it as seriously as they take, you know, an like Gone Girl with Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the...
Rosamund Pike. Yeah.
And that's really a fucking shame because they're not that far off. They're
no.
just as ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he actually poses with this movie that's coming out, like Girl on the Train. Have you seen the trailer for this?
No, but is that the one with Emily Blunt?
Yes.
Yes.
It is difficult to comprehend, to say the least. Like, don't get twisted. I mean, it looks kind of good. I will probably go see it. It's like based on a book.
I don't know. I don't really go to the movies. I only go to the movies to see black thrillers.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
But I mean, what you probably will go see is When the Bow Breaks.
When the Bow Breaks.
Yes, which is another film called out in the article coming out with Regina Hall.
Morris Chestnut. And some light-skinned one whose name I don't know, but she plays a psycho bitch in the fucking trailer. And I will be there opening night, Court Street, ready.
Ready. With the popcorn.
With the popcorn.
So we have to kind of keep, just to kind of double down on that point, we have to keep these things in mind because, you know, how we look at our styles of film makes a big difference on our interpretation of that film.
Absolutely. 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 Absolutely.
So it's just important to really make sure that you're, like, identifying, like, what people are actually trying to do because you'll enjoy it a lot more.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
So to come back to...
Hip operas
or the black operatic tradition, if you will.
Well, I was going to say, because, I mean, technically, Paul Robeson falls in the black operatic tradition.
True.
So we should stick to hip operas in this, in this sense, especially with where this conversation is going.
Yes. You can't really have this conversation without acknowledging, you know, one of the, or some of the innovators of the medium.
Yes.
Of the recent era, if you will. That is R. Kelly.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And the Isley Brothers. Mostly, like, Ron Isley and Ernie.
I mean, like, you know, so obviously, trigger warning, we will be talking about R. Kelly. Disclaimer, we both agree that he's a terrible human being, piece of shit, who will certainly burn in hell.
For all eternity?
For all of eternity.
Yeah. That said, to separate a bit of the person, you actually don't even have to separate too much, because like I feel like in all R. Kelly's videos, he plays like, you know, some sort of trash human being.
Yeah.
But specifically in his videos with the Isley Brothers, or again, Ryan and Ernie.
Yeah.
They use this like operatic style in a way that people don't traditionally do. Uh-huh. Like it kind of very much started with Down Low.
Yeah.
And Down Low is interesting because it wasn't actually like they weren't singing to each other, but it was this very like cinematic, big film.
Yeah.
And Ron Isley typically plays this like mafioso boss, mafioso style boss, who is dating a series of different women.
A series of different younger, very attractive women.
Yes. And like in Down Low, it starts off with
Garcelle Bouvet,
who is.
Yes.
Amazingly gorgeous.
Yeah, she was super. I remember, obviously, but, like, really looking at this video, I was like, God, she was gorgeous.
I mean, she was even still bad, like, in the Jamie Foxx show.
Like I said,
and she also was a good actress, too.
Like, no, she was. I was actually thinking that.
Like, she, like, in terms of, you think about the Jamie Foxx show, like, that could have easily not worked.
Yeah.
For as long as it did. Yeah. Like, that show was on for a while.
It really was. I know I watched it.
Yeah, and, like, it wasn't like Jamie Foxx carried it. You know what I'm saying? Like, all the characters did really, really well. Like Braxton, Fancy, who's Garcelle.
Beauvais' character. Yeah.
But coming back to this, she was kind of the wife to Ron Isley's mafia.
And
boss.
She's my keep very gorgeous, much younger woman. It looks weird.
Yeah. Ron Isley is leaving and puts R. Kelly, who is his like maybe second in command or bodyguard or something like that, he puts him in charge and gives him this like really weird, creepy conversation. Like, I'm gonna give you a pile of money.
Yeah,
you do whatever she wants, but don't touch her.
Exactly. Yeah, show her a good time. I was like, what?
But don't touch her. And it's like, okay. That's pretty strange. But obvious foreshadowing for what is to come.
Yes.
Because they fall in love. Or
lust?
Lust.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Ryan Isley finds out and beats the shit out of both of them.
Yeah. And then R. Kelly gets left in the middle of the desert. But Fancy, I'm about to call her Fancy.
Yeah.
But Garcelle Beauvais dies.
Yeah, like he beat her to death. He had her beat up. I don't know if he did it himself, but still.
Going back and rewatching that video as an adult, I was like, wait, like this ends in like some serious domestic violence. Like she dies.
Yeah.
How is that not the focus of the video?
Yeah.
Like the focus of the video is like all this amazing sex that R. Kelly is supposedly having with this grown woman. And
she dies at the end. It just ends. It just ends, basically.
She gets beat to death.
Yeah. So that, like, that video and that partnership kicked off the videos that I think are probably, like, more in line with what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because they brought in a lot of other people. Like, the cast of women kind of rotate.
Yeah. It's like whatever woman they were trying to put on.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because, like, obviously Garcelle Bouvet can't sing, I'm assuming.
And
she's not a singer. No.
Yeah.
But as the videos progress, there's always another woman who actually joins the song who's, like, a singer. So if they want to put on Kelly Price, then they have, you know, Kelly Price song. They would have put on Shantae Moore. They would have put on one of the girls from
J.S.
Johnson Sisters, who started off as a gospel group backing up Shirley Caesar. Then, in their early 20s, they came under management of the Isley Brothers, who introduced them to R. Kelly. And now, one of them is married to Ronald Isley. One of them is a backup singer for various people, like you know, famous people.
Yeah.
And then the other one is married to the lead singer of Earth, Wind & Fire.
Really?
Isn't that kind of like a weird...
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, one of the girls from the Johnson Sisters also played, I think, the lead in the most recent.
Yeah. Busted.
Yeah, Busted in the most recent, like, Ronald Isley, R. Kelly collaboration. It's interesting that, like the women changed as they wanted to give people career shine.
Like, that would be great, again, if it weren't for the context of who these people are.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, Kelly Price, like, this was, from what I remember, this was her first real hit. Friend of Mine?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. It was like her first big...
First big, like, smash.
Yeah.
And Friend of Mine, like, was sick because they're having this, like, phone call going back and forth with, like, Ron Isley and R. Kelly.
Yeah, because Kelly used to be with R. Kelly.
R. Kelly, yeah.
But he started fucking her best friend.
Yeah.
She was my best friend. You are my husband.
Not no more.
No.
But, and so then she calls Ron Isley. He's like, what the fuck? Put him on the phone. And obviously the relationship dynamics of these films are problematic.
Problematic. Problematic.
If you will. But yeah, that's kind of how it goes. But that's actually not the, like, that's actually kind of good for where the rest of these films go.
Yeah.
If you look at Contagious, so in Contagious, it's kind of basically the exact same scenario as Down Low. And it's with Contagious, like Shantae Moore.
Yes.
Yeah, who is amazing. I still look back very fondly on Shantae.
I like Shantae more, but she did shoot herself in the foot by creating a song called Shantae's Got a Man, shitting on her friends who were single or dating terrible men, and then she and her man got divorced.
Yeah, I mean, but at the time, it's like, you know, you got to flaunt what you got. I guess so. But in Contagious, it's basically, it's the same plot. Shantae Moore is dating Ron Isley, and then her and R. Kelly start fucking, and then Ron Isley catches him.
Yeah.
And this is epic because at the time, like, Ron Isley has this, he has this cane, which I really appreciate,
Oh my God. Yeah.
That has a katana sword in it. Because that's a thing that people do, is have swords in a cane, in a walking stick. But yeah, and he like pulls it out and they're like about to go down. But it's about to go down. You think R. Kelly's about to get beat up the same way in Down Low.
Yeah.
But times have changed. Yeah. He has hired bodyguards.
Yes.
At this point, he's hired bodyguards to come in and like protect him, and they leave.
Yeah, which was, I think actually Shantae Moore and R. Kelly leaving together is a preferable outcome to her getting beat to death.
Yeah.
I just think it's better.
I would agree. But, I mean, the thing that is really also really weird about, like, all of these films, because it's the same plot over and over and over again. It's R. Kelly, like, Ron Isley is with his, like, woman half his age, if not more.
Yeah.
And R. Kelly has sex with that woman, and he finds out. There's an odd obsession with cuckold fantasy going on there.
Yeah.
And it's weird because, like, if I'm Ron Isley, mind you, Ron Isley is the coolest motherfucker alive in terms of how, like, his, like, style, like, even in Busted when he's got, like, the fur and, like, a Celtics jersey.
Yeah.
somehow he pulls it off.
Somehow.
But that's odd. Like, to me, I don't know, something about that sticks out is kind of strange.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things about that stick out as strange. Like, it's strange to me that you wouldn't position I could see how, like, somebody who is an OG is not always going to position himself to be the flyest person in the video.
Yeah.
Because I think that shows maturity and it shows that you're passing a baton of some sort. But, like, you don't have to, this man doesn't always constantly have to be taking your women. And then also, like, this is like terrible, but I couldn't help but watch all these videos and like look at R. Kelly like quote unquote saving this younger woman from this older man. And I was thinking like, this is really fucked. Like, this is so weird. Like, and it's true. Ron Isley was with women like half of his age in every single video, but you know, they were grown. Everybody was grown. So it's weird to see R. Kelly be like, I need to save you from this older man. I'm thinking like, that's... Yeah. Like, you don't even see how crazy all of this shit is?
The wrong fucking person.
The wrong fucking person. But the thing that actually, I think Contagious is probably my favorite one. I think it's actually probably the best song.
Yeah.
But it also achieves a lot of the same things musically as Carmen, a hip hopper. And I think, like, what a hip hopper actually is, which is, like, people sing-talking to advance the plot. Like, when you go, like, one of the things that people say, they're like, oh, you know, when they go to a musical, they're like, people who don't like them, they're like, oh, everybody was singing, like, the whole time. They sing to advance the plot. And I'm like, but they still have dialogue in musicals. Yeah. In the opera?
The whole thing.
The whole, every section.
It's deep.
Someone, if you're on stage, you are singing. Only music advances the plot. A lot of things that, like, don't make for beautiful lyrics get sung.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, and obviously they do that in Carmen and Hip Hopera.
Yeah.
But I think that that's best achieved in Contagious. All the back and forth between R. Kelly, Ronald Isley, and Shantae Moore, it achieves, like, all of the plot. But, like, the melody itself is interesting. There's humor in it. Yeah, the lyrics are decent. And, like, to me, I think that that was, like, I mean, he continued to make other collaborations, like, with Ronald Isley and various women, like, after Contagious. But to me, Contagious is, like, the blueprint for a, you know, Trapped in the Closet series.
Yes. I mean, it's clear that that was kind of, like, what he didn't seem to know he was working towards, Trapped in the Closet.
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, as campy and terrible as it is kind of a masterpiece.
In itself, in a way.
Yeah. I would have never thought something like Trapped in the Closet would have existed.
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No.
you know, to have taken it as far as he did, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, Trapped in the Closet is this, at this point, 30-plus chapter opera. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sung entirely by R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Where he plays different characters, and it's talking through this, like, this series of events that is kicked off by this, like, one night of him sleeping
with a married woman and getting caught by her husband.
And trapped in the closet.
Trapped in the closet, yeah.
It's basically what happens after he comes out of that closet. Trapped in the Closet, honestly, I remember, because before, like, they have their videos. So you can, like, go, I think most of them are on YouTube.
Yeah.
So you can go and watch them on YouTube. I remember, like, when it first came out, it was on, like, this was peak Kazaa. Time like Kazaa, Morpheus, you know, downloading, or didn't do, quote unquote.
I did.
Mm-hmm. But so I remember hearing about it, like, yo, have you heard Trapped in the Closet? Because I wasn't listening to like radio super
hard. Yeah, I first heard it on terrestrial radio, and it was amazing because it was a real serial. It was like you hear a 3-minute song. And then you get to, because every single one ended with like this sung cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Right. And then you would just be sitting there like, well, when is the next installment coming out? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah. And he released them like over a series. Like, I think it came in like, it was like 1 through 5, then like 5 through 13.
Yeah.
And then like there was a massive break.
Yeah. To like, years long break, and then like 20 through 33 or something like that.
But I used to like download these and I would be like, fuck, you're right. Like those cliffhangers were amazing. He talks about like he's like sleeping with his wife, and she starts like going crazy. Like she's like, oh, I'm about to climax. And he's like, I pull back the cover, and what is that? A rubber?
Yeah.
It is. Hearing that, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
The tension, my like jaws are clenched.
He's talking about cramps in his leg. I think there was one point where one of the characters farted.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen like almost the entire series.
I stopped at like 15.
No, one time it ran on IFC, I think.
Yeah.
And me and our friend Jason, like, this was years and years and years ago. I might have seen the other ones later somewhere else down the line, but we at least saw the first 15. In one sitting, because they put it on TV all back to back. We were like, okay, this is before like really YouTube was popping or anything like that. I came to visit for the weekend and we just got drunk and we watched the entire thing, like all 15. Because I mean, 15, they're each 3-minute songs. Like, it takes like a couple hours maybe.
Yeah. And it's crazy. It doesn't really get old like watching them back to back, even though it's the same musical track the whole way through.
The melody does not change.
Even like you said, the melody, like the peaks and where he hits like certain types of notes, it's in the exact same spot just over and over and over again. But it's so gripping. And it's like ridiculously over the top, definitely offensive. Like in certain parts.
On so many levels,
like,
yes.
You gotta be like, oh, well, that was a bad choice. And it kind of continues this idea of R. Kelly is this, like, terrible person, basically. Like, it's basically a series of people who are all cheating on each other. And,
oh,
like,
my God. Yeah. Like, just web of lies and deceit. Everyone's sleeping with everybody else. And it's just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, but it's, like, amazingly messy. Like, it's messy in just the best way.
Well, even, like, we watched 2 through 5 together.
Yeah.
And in the second installment... and also in the third installment, too, there are a couple of big reveals. But, like, R. Kelly has the opportunity to leave at any point in time. He's the only person, like, he pulls out a gun for no reason at a certain point.
Shoots it in the air.
Right. Shoots it in the air just to get everybody to shut up. He always acts like he's about to walk out the door. But then someone's like, wait, let us tell you what's happening. Let us tell you how all this started. And he's like, okay. He has no reason to stay there. He does not know these people.
Yeah.
But, like, he turns around. And he's like, okay, y'all got 3 minutes. And it's like, wait. You're literally only here for the gossip. Yeah. Like, you're staying for the drama of it all.
Petty.
That's it.
He's all about
it. That's literally it.
But, you know, that is his choice in the thing. And, like, I don't know. It's just, it's really, really enjoyable. And something that only he, sickeningly, could conceive of.
Yeah.
But I wish people did play around more with this, like, with this style, you know what I'm saying? Like, with this hip-hopper style. I'm like, again, to come back, like, that's what makes me so continuously excited, even though it's kind of slid off a little bit.
Yeah.
Empire.
Like, yeah.
Empire really takes a style. And I actually think there's room for them to go further with it. You know, like...
I agree. They're not playing with their peaks enough for me.
Yeah. I mean, something you said earlier, which is definitely true, like, I feel like in the first season, the music did a better job of moving the plot.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just, like, the music wasn't only, like, in the context of I'm making a song. Like, sometimes it was, you know, they were discovering music and singing outside of, like, the studio.
Yeah.
Or, like, some sort of performance. But I feel like in the second season, that's kind of like what they've gotten locked into.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, it was, that was like one of the cool things that made Empire so great the first season. Also made you engaged in the music.
Yeah.
Because like you had an, it was like, it reminded you of something that had happened on the show. It wasn't just like, you know, and the songs were good.
Yeah.
Like the songs were really good. Yeah. I mean, Drip Drop was the only, to me, song that they could have made. It could have been anything. I mean, thank the Lord. They made it Drip Drop.
Yeah.
But Drip Drop was just a song that, like, you know, that, like, Hakeem and, what's the girl's name on the show? I was about to call her by her real name.
Tiana?
Yeah. Hakeem and Tiana, they could have sang any song together.
Yeah.
But the rest of them pretty much were all songs that advanced some type of plot point, which I can't really remember any of the songs from this season.
I remember one. Oh, this season. I mean, they reused a lot of songs. This, like, Lucius, his only real song, I feel like most of the season was like boom, boom. What was it? Boom, 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 boom,
yeah,
boom, boom.
I don't know. Was that the one, like, he made in prison?
Yeah, I mean, and that scene was great.
It was good.
It was really, really good. But they went real hard with it, and I don't know if that's maybe because Terrence Howard got real sick of, like, you know,
not being in the mix enough.
Yeah,
too much Jussie Smollett credit for him.
Who's clearly a star? Like clearly. Him and Taraji.
Oh yeah.
Or the stars of the show.
It's amazing that Taraji's so successful on that show, and she's like the only character who doesn't sing, if you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, and the oldest brother, but like, people ain't really checking for him. Sadly. Sorry, bruh.
Yeah. I mean, I like him.
I like
as
him,
a
but he's not,
but
like
the.
He's not somebody who you're looking at and you're like, oh, he's gonna star some shit today.
Exactly. But yeah, Empire, I really enjoy. I'm excited for the spinoff, Star.
Yeah.
That's coming out with Queen Latifah and Lenny Kravitz.
That's going to be great.
Yeah. I mean, Queen Latifah, like, doesn't get enough appreciation because of the fact that she can really sing.
She can really sing, she can really rap, and she can really act. Like, what's going to be bad about that?
She's going to kill that shit. And Lenny Kravitz actually is a surprisingly decent actor,
too. He is a pretty good actor.
Yeah. Like, he was actually really good in Hunger Games.
That's true.
He held his own in Hunger Games. And
he's obviously a fantastic musician.
Yeah. So I'm really excited for that. I'm excited for people to continue to expand. I would love to see someone other than Lee Daniels do it.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, also what I would really like is I would really like for someone to make a hip hopra at like the highest level. Like to me, I think something that Kanye West could do if he could just channel his energies. I think if he just sat down for a minute and just chilled, I think Kanye could make a phenomenal hip hopra.
Yeah.
Like, I think about, like, I used to be really into The Who, and they did a couple, like, not just Tommy, but Quadrophenia, which isn't as good as Tommy, but Tommy has some incredible music in it, like, incredible, incredible music. And, like, you know, they were people who were at the highest, you know, at the highest level commercially and many, you know, and many people thought critically, the highest level of their game. And they made this really great album that was reinterpreted as like a movie that was also interpreted as like a Broadway play.
Yeah.
And the music from all of it was incredible. I think that there's something cool about like somebody being at that high of a level, taking their camp really seriously. And I think if anybody actually could deliver us some amazing fucking camp, it is Kanye Omari West.
Yeah. King of Petty.
King of Petty.
It would be so, like, it would be real messy. It would be real great.
It would be really messy. Yeah. It would be really great.
Because he's ridiculously fucking talented.
Yeah, he is really talented. I just think it's like, I think he like is almost, with what is it, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy with the Runaway video.
Yeah.
I think like he seems like he wants to explore larger themes. And the cool thing that I think actually a lot of, like Beyonce reminded me of, and I think that like more artists should play with, is like, if you're making something that's at the end of the day supposed to be a musical artistic statement, you have so much more leeway with your visuals.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're consistent and cohesive and like you're moving forward some type of plot, people will go with you wherever the music is supposed to lead them.
Yeah.
I just wish more people would like think about that.
Yeah.
Because I'd be into it.
I agree. So let go, you know. Embrace camp.
Embrace camp. And recognize black camp when you see it. Stop writing fucking black people being goofy and hamming it up is like, stop writing that off as like fucking coonery.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Take a step back and chill.
Just chill.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Thank you for rocking with us. Let us know what other camp films you like. Are there any hip operas that we've missed? Like, ooh, I tried to go back and look and like really see if there was anything like lingering out there that I didn't see. And I couldn't find it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So definitely call us out to us, send us an email, point it out on Twitter.
Please do. And also let us know who else you would like to see make a hip opera, because I'd be very curious outside of Kanye. Kanye to me is like obvious.
Kanye is an obvious.
So I want to know who else.
Yeah.
Just don't say Diddy.
I was trying to think of somebody. No, not Diddy.
Not Diddy. Anyway, thank you guys for listening, and we will holler at you in a couple weeks.
Yes. Go write us a review on iTunes.
Yeah, 5-star rating. Bye. Yes.
Bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.